In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who doesn't want what's right, what you've earned, and really, when it comes right down to it, not grace or mercy? That's what the grumblers in the parable don't understand. It's not about what they did or how long they did it for. It's about the extravagant generosity of the Master. If you want justice, you'll languish in the heat and burden of hell. That's fair. But to demand justice in the kingdom of heaven, to insist on being judged and rewarded based on what you've earned, is to receive only condemnation, death, and hell. What you deserve is punishment and torture. Your flesh torn from your body by the lash, and to die a humiliating death. To have your teeth kicked in and be left for dead. And it doesn't matter how long you've labored, how long you've been a member of this congregation, what others think of you or anything else. You are a sinner who deserves to be cast out and condemned eternally. That is fair. That's justice. And yet God remains gracious and merciful to you, sending his Son to mount the gibbet of the Holy Cross. And from the cross comes shade and refreshment, healing and forgiveness, reconciliation and union with Christ. And he does and gives this all to you freely, without cost. Jesus gives what you didn't earn and don't deserve, and withholds what you do. This is grace. In the kingdom, those who in no way deserve it are rewarded. Parched grumblers receive cool, refreshing water for free. And if Jesus should return in the next few hours, those called in the last hour will receive the same reward as those called in the very beginning. That's how God deals with you on account of his Son. For Jesus gives what you do not deserve and did not earn, taking upon himself what you do and did. Your sins are forgiven as Jesus is condemned. You're the child and heir of God while Jesus is forsaken and made a worm and no man. You shall live eternally, for Jesus is hanged upon the tree to die an excruciating death for sinners. And all of this he gladly suffers and endures. He happily gives himself over to wicked men to redeem and reconcile you to his Father. Why? Because he is God who has loved you from before the foundation of the world. He is God who will not let anything separate you from him. He is God who is gracious and merciful. But there is something about that which is free and undeserved that your flesh just can't stand. One of our tried and true cliches is there's no such thing as a free lunch. And consider how angry you get when someone at work gets an undeserved raise or promotion. Undeserved to whom, though? You? But you know full well that it seems all the time that cheaters are always prospering and never caught, or that murderers beat the system. Yes, often in this life and according to the laws of men, the wicked escape justice. The undeserving are rewarded while you struggle and suffer. But not so in the kingdom of heaven. Their justice is always satisfied, and the deserving always rewarded. It's just that justice is satisfied in the flesh and blood of Jesus, while the deserving are wicked sinners like you, rewarded with the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. You are indeed rewarded with what you in no way merited. Don't like it? Tough. Not fair? Get over it. The Lord is gracious to whom he will be gracious and rewards the neophytes the same as he does the lifelong members. So don't gloat over your brothers and sisters because you're more pious than them. The salvation granted to those lifelong members is not somehow greater than what is given to those recently called. If all you want are the praises of men and the pride that goes with it, take what is yours and go. To grumble against the gracious mercy of God in Christ, and to insist rather on being judged and rewarded according to what you've done, is to already have your reward, and it's to be cast out of the Master's house and into the outer darkness. You'll be condemned. Repent. Neither give in to the other temptation, though. Yes, God is gracious and merciful to you in His Son, abundantly so, but that does not give you license to live as wantonly and immorally as you like. The commandments still bind you. You may not sin as you please and think, it's okay, God will forgive me. His grace isn't some cheap plaything. You cannot freely blaspheme, fornicate, lie, hate your parents or neighbor, and hold and espouse thoughts and opinions contrary to the Word of God, and be a Christian. God will not turn a blind eye to your skipping church, your avoiding to gather with the saints to hear His Word and receive the body and blood of Jesus. These are the rotten fruits of a dead faith. You will be cast out of the Master's house and into the outer darkness of condemnation. Repent. Like the fathers in the wilderness, those who rely on their own merits will be last, their bodies scattered in the desolate place. Those who rely on Christ Jesus, however, will be first. The Lord desires to deal with you on the basis of His abounding love and mercy for you in Christ. Anything else is death. Christ alone is life and grace. Discipline your flesh, therefore, by the word of God and prayer, and live as befitting a Christian according to the vocation in which you've been placed. Subdue your weak, fallen flesh, your pride, your lusts and desires, your old sinful Adam, and keep it under control with repentance and the Holy Communion. Abandon your own works and cling instead to Jesus and His cross. Leave behind the filthy, tattered rags of your own righteousness and be clothed with the immaculate robe of His righteousness, receiving from Him the imperishable crown of life. Consider once more the laborers in the vineyard. Those who worked only that last hour were rewarded for work they didn't do. They're rewarded for another's labor. And more than that, after the grumblers take what's theirs and are cast out, those last workers remain with the owner. They enjoy his good gifts and presents. They eat at his table and drink his wine freely. That's grace. And that is what you receive. The labor of another, bearing the heat and burden of the day upon the holy cross. For the rock stricken for your sake, and from his side flows blood and water to cleanse you of your sin. The water fills the font filled with the Holy Spirit to wash you clean with God's triune name. The blood fills the chalice that you may be joined intimately to Christ your Savior, that you may drink and live. This is the faith which Kimberly will, by God's undeserved grace, publicly confess yet this morning. And neither you or her receive anything different from those illustrious saints of old, but are made children with them of the same Heavenly Father. Of course it doesn't make sense. Maybe it even seems wasteful and foolish, and to the ways and to the wisdom of men it is. But God's ways are not your ways. For that divine justice in which you cannot stand is met and satisfied in the death of Jesus Christ. You are redeemed, reconciled, and rewarded, for He loves you. Such is the way of the kingdom of heaven. Such is the grace of God toward you in Jesus Christ. Those who hated and abused the king are loved by him. Those who plot and scheme the murder of the Son are given the kingdom. The lazy, prideful, and arrogant receive what they don't deserve. Those who don't work are rewarded for the work of another. So whether you've labored in the vineyard for 60, 70, or more years, or whether you've only recently been called, it doesn't matter. No, you've not earned or deserved this, but God is gracious and merciful to you in Jesus Christ. Jesus forgives your sins and opens his kingdom to you by grace. In 70 days, by that same grace, we shall once again be led by the pillar of fire through the waters to the promised land of the Master's table. Our joy will know no bounds as our rightful songs will no longer be exiled from our lips. Jesus calls today that you should live. That's grace, and it's more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.